former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard, played nearly a decade in the NFL as a wide receiver, former first-round pick, also a national champion for the Colorado Buffaloes in the early 90s. Pritch and I have had a fun first hour. We have a fun second hour on deck as well. 15 minutes from now, Von Dalzell of NBC Sports Edge will be joining us to talk some MLB awards, what he's eyeing for the second half of the season, which gets underway in earnest on Friday. But first, Pritch, we wanted to go through Pritch's pecking order. And this is, according to you, ranking the top 20 wide receivers in the National Football League. So last time you guys did this, you did 15 through 11, or was it 16 through 11?
Yeah, six, 15.
15 through 11.
Okay, hold up. We did 20 through 16.
Yep, so 15 through 11. There it is. Mathematicians
right.
over here, us.
On air. Yeah.
So to recap, if you missed it, 15 through 11, you had Garrett Wilson, the rookie wide receiver out of the New York Jets, or at least now second-year wide receiver, won Offensive Rookie of the Year last year, number 15. DK Metcalf of the Seahawks at 14. Amari Cooper of the Cleveland Browns at 13. Amon-Ra St. Brown of the Detroit Lions at 12. And Christian Kirk of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
See, I like how you said that.
At a number 11. That one surprised me when I was looking at this list a little bit. I was like, okay, Kirk, good player, but I didn't know if I would have him that high if it were my list, but it's not. It's your list. Explain.
Okay, well, before I explain, why wouldn't you have Christian Kirk up that high?
I just think there's some guys that are better. Like, I would rather have DK Metcalf. I would rather have Garrett Wilson.
Okay.
Kirk and St. Brown, I feel like there's not a huge difference there. I would rather have Amari Cooper, honestly, than Christian Kirk as well.
I did wrestle with DK a little bit but I think he should be more. And he will be. He should be. He better be this year with Smith and Jigba and Lockett. I know, right? I mean, Lockett sometimes outplays him.
That's true.
With his body and what he can do and his athleticism, he should be dominating the league, right? And he's not. And so that's why I don't have him. Christian Kirk, he got paid, right? And that raised my eyebrow a little bit, both of them. But yet he produced, man, and he's a good player, really good player and getting better. So this might surprise you with the top 10 then.
Well, let's get into the top 10 right now.
And Mike Evans, I wrestled with Mike Evans in a top 10 receiver. And I'm going to say it right now, he didn't make the top 20.
Woo!
I mean, Godwin could be the number one guy without the ACL, right, on that roster. But I'm going to start with CeeDee Lamb at number 10, a top 10 receiver. I think his first 2 years, first few years here have been phenomenal in terms of the expectations. But I'm curious about him going forward because Kellen Moore was pass happy. We get that. You know, is McCarthy going to be pass happy? But he is a guy who's a clear number one player, clear number one receiver. The targets, I wonder what's going to happen with his targets as the Dallas Cowboys are going to try to reinvent themselves a little bit. And you got Brandon Cooks too on the outside now. So his role, I think CeeDee Lamb's role will be a little bit different. More customary to what he was in college, I think, which is going to be fantastic for me. So he is a top 10 player here on the receiver list. Cooper Kupp is number 9.
Shout out to Yakima, Washington.
Yes, Yakima. Eastern Washington, right? He played there.
Yep. Go
and,
Eagles.
We had training camp out there. Who knew? Who knew? But Cooper Kupp, the guy was on fire again before the injury. But his relationship with Stafford has been special. And, you know, moving forward, I don't see him doing the things that he did a couple years ago to win a Super Bowl, right? But to make this list, you know, for me, is he a guy that can get open against any coverage out there? Yeah. Can he be a vital weapon on offense? Yeah. I mean, it is what's going to hurt this guy certainly is Stafford and the inability to what this offense is going to turn into. So a little bit of rear view mirror look right now. But you got to have him in the top 10 just based on what he is on the field. Receiving yards, 1250 and a half. I mean, that I just don't know about this offense to recommend going over that. I wouldn't bet over on that. But he is a top 10 receiver. At number 8, this one, I didn't think he was going to make the list because of what he is. Now, he's a glorified running back playing wide receiver. But when he is not injured, when he's on the field, he is an ultimate playmaker. And that's how I looked at him. Is he a top-level wide receiver, pure wide receiver? No. But is he an ultimate playmaker? Yeah, and he deserves to be in the top 10 list, and that's Deebo Samuel. And if he puts together a year in which he's healthy, am I seeing that receiving yards, 725 and a half?
You're seeing it correct.
I mean, I know it's juice, minus 130, but my goodness, and then 4.5 touchdowns. I mean... Is it because of Purdy? Or, I mean, just think of how good Purdy could be when this guy is healthy, you know, mm-hmm. and stays healthy. And it's a big if, but he is a top eight player, a top eight receiver when you compare him to everybody else that's out there in the league. Let's get to number seven because I really like the upside of Terry McLaurin. I think now quarterback, he hasn't had a quarterback. But he has
still made your list at seven, which speaks highly of
right, because of what his production has been without a quarterback. And maybe the offensive philosophy, the changes, they might help him, to be honest with you. But watching him on tape, Femi, and just watching him on the field, he's a playmaker. He's really, really good. I expect him to go over. I expect him to be featured in this offense big time with Eric Bieniemy and what they want to do. And you know, his skill set is just representative to me as a top seven receiver in the league. And number six, he should be in the top five, but the top five is tough, but it is AJ Brown. I mean, AJ Brown is an incredible, incredible player. He can play with any quarterback. He is a dominant number one player. You know, one of the things that showed up though is when he's unhappy, you know, typical receiver, right? Unhappy kind of checks out a little bit. I don't like that. If this guy, I mean, look at the photo, one. And then two, if he had that mindset, like a Jerry, you know, like a T.O., like a Keyshawn even, and just wants to be that, Michael Irvin, just wants to be that player, that guy, give me the ball, give me the damn ball. I mean, this guy should be unstoppable, but I think he stops himself sometimes, but certainly from a talent standpoint, from a production standpoint, what he represents, he's a top six player at that position in the National Football League.
All right. So the 10 through 6, CD Lamb 10,
yep.
Cooper Kupp 9,
yep.
Deebo Samuel 8, Terry McLaurin 7, and AJ Brown at number 6. So we also have, in addition to their profiles and stuff, we have their receiving yardage props and the receiving touchdowns props. And two that really stood out to me, and we'll start with the most recent one, A.J. Brown.
Okay.
The touchdowns prop for Brown seems a little criminally low. Like, honestly, not even a little. It's just criminally low.
Right.
Let me get that right. 5.5. I mean, this guy had 11 touchdowns last year. Now, in 2021, 5 touchdowns, but he was banged up with Tennessee Titans. So I guess injury is always a concern with A.J. Brown because, you know, he's a physical receiver, really good at yards after the catch, but sometimes he gets nicked up here and there. Last season was the first season in which he played all the games in the regular season. 2019, he played 16 back when we were in a 16-game schedule. In 2020, he had 11 TDs, 8 TDs his rookie year in 2019. So only 1 year where he's been like a low TD guy. Mm-hmm. 5.5, and I get the Eagles have a lot of good players. They have Devontae Smith, who's terrific. He made your list at number 20. They have Dallas Goedert, who could take some receiving touchdowns away as well. But A.J. Brown is Jalen Hurts' favorite target. That's his boy.
Right.
That's who he goes to in a times of crisis. He could be over 5.5 midway through the season. Like, I don't really understand that number.
Well, and he had ankle problems towards down the stretch, too. Some I think I want to say hamstring, too. But, you know, A.J. Brown's going to look at himself on tape. And I know this. It should happen. And he's going to be disappointed for what he saw. Productive, almost 1,500 receiving yards last year. You mentioned the touchdowns. But down the stretch, he wasn't that – he didn't distinguish himself to be that type of player. And I think – if you want to be thought of like the all-time greats, you have to do it in the playoffs. You have to do it down the stretch. You have to do it in important games. And when you watch yourself on tape, that's what you want to become. And he has the ability to become all that and more. He didn't make the top five because of that. You know, I'm waiting to see that. And hopefully, for the Eagles' sake, it'll show up this year.
Another one that stood out to me was Cooper Kupp's touchdowns, and I kind of like the under.
Okay, yeah.
And it's juiced toward the under, so I think the market's also implying it as well. But set at 10.5, the under is minus 135. There's just so much uncertainty with this Rams offensive situation mm-hmm. being that Matthew Stafford, I mean, he was banged up all throughout last year. Sounds like he's feeling great right now, but let's see how he's feeling week four, week five. Is he still going to be feeling great? The offensive line has issues as well. I could see Cooper Kupp getting his yardage because he's just a really good player, but there's going to be so much focus on him because outside of Kupp, I guess Van Jefferson's there, but he's not going to really put any fear in a defense. There's going to be a lot of attention paid to Cooper Kupp to where I could see him going under that 10.5. I mean, 10, if he gets 10 touchdowns, which is still a terrific season,
right.
You win your bet.
Yeah, and that's why this is rear view mirror a little bit. I tussled with, okay, do I put him in the top 15? What do I do? I mean, that's disrespectful, I think, to Cooper Kupp. But moving forward, you're right. I mean, the Rams are, offensive line issues. there's a quarterback in college. There's a couple of quarterbacks in college that I think the Rams would be very, very interested in.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They haven't had a first-round pick since Jared Goff when that was, 2016?
Mm-hmm.
For Cooper Kupp, I mean, under everything, to me, would be where I would go. It's juiced up for the unders touchdowns, but under yards even. I mean, I think Matthew Stafford's not even going to make the entire year. And I would not be shocked, Femi, if throughout the midway point of the season, this franchise starts to tank.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Maybe we see Setson and Bennett throwing to Cooper Kupp.
Right.
And by the way, on Kupp, he's gone under these numbers. So 12, 50 and a half receiving yards, 10 and a half receiving touchdowns. He's gone under both of those every single year except for one in his career, that being 2 years ago when he won Offensive Player of the Year and had 1,900 yards and 16 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's just been putting up 15 touchdowns every single season.
Been special with Stafford.
Yeah. So been special with Stafford, but who knows how long Stafford will be out there behind center. Von Dalzell of NBC Sports has joined us next to talk some MLB awards here on the Lombardi.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? If you drive over the speed limit, there are lots of sounds that you might hear. You can hear the sound of your vehicle crashing, the sound of first responders desperately trying to save you. You can even hear the sound of people crying at a funeral. Because if you drive over the speed limit, you could do damage that's beyond repair. One way or another, speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA. NHTSA. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. He's Mike Pritchard. I'm Femi Abebefe. We're hanging out here on a Thursday at the Circa Resort and Casino. So we just went through Pritch's pecking order, 10 through 6. Top 5 wide receivers tomorrow, so you can chew on that over the weekend. That's coming up a little bit later on Friday. But joining us right now, our final guest here on the program, betting analyst over at NBC Sports, the one and only Von Dalzell, joining us here on the Lombardi Line this Thursday morning. Von, we appreciate you taking the time this morning or early afternoon if you're over out on the East Coast. And when we're doing the show prep here, I saw in the rundown that you had many of MLB awards bets, which warms my heart because that's kind of how I bet on the sport. And I want to get into those awards bets, starting with the Cy Young. I think in both leagues, this thing is pretty wide open. And based on the bets that you have here down on our rundown, you would agree.
Yeah, I definitely do. I mean, I think the awards market in general is a good way to be betting MLB right now. This is the dog days of the summer. I was telling a friend last night, once the middle of June strikes, the beginning of August, you're going to hit losing streaks. You're going to lose some money. It's going to get very annoying because underdogs will be cashing a lot more often. So I look towards the awards market right now to try and get value of guys that I see is going to make a difference here. So talking about the NL, I mean, I like Spencer Strider. He was the guy I bet in the preseason at plus 850. He's leading the league in strikeouts, fifth in opponent batting average right now. Of course, Braves' favorite in the NL and to win the World Series. But Blake Snell might be the best value out of all guys. And I have another value pick in the AL as well. But Blake Snell has been tremendous over his last 7-8 starts, allowing 3 earned runs. He's climbed in the MLB's top 10 in strikeouts, ERAs, fewest hits, OBA. I mean, you name it, he's doing it right now. And in June, I mean, he was the best pitcher with 53 Ks and 5 starts, lower than a 1 ERA and 13 hits in 5 games. So he's sitting at like 12-1 at most places. Strider's around the 4-1 or lower. I think those two are the best bets in the Cy Young market in the NL right now. And, I don't think I would go with Clayton Kershaw or Zach Gallen, to be honest.
You know, Von, it's interesting because of the, I guess, the individual aspect of a team game like Major League Baseball is, right? And you wonder from an award standpoint and the narrative that could be created to add fuel to that Blake Snell play. I mean, what if the Padres stop underachieving and they start, you know, start playing better baseball, right? I mean, that kind of boosts that play right there for you.
Yeah, and I think that can happen. I mean, on Bet the Edge, we were talking about the Padres being a pretty spicy play at, you know, 30-1 to win the NL, or, you know, getting around 12, 15 to 20-1 to win the NL West. Because, I mean, you look at the offense, they've been lackluster in that department, or lackluster pitching wise outside of Blake Snell, but the offense keeps them in games a lot of the time. But the first month of the season was so bad for San Diego that positive regression is going to hit for them. And with Blake Snell pitching like this, I mean, that's really what you need, is some guy to rally the rest of the troops. So with, you know, all the hitters they have there, I think the Padres are a sneaky team to make some noise. Wouldn't talk anyone off a win total, a postseason spot, or even a splash of an NL West ticket, because they are better than their record indicates.
We're speaking with Von Dalzell, betting analyst over at NBC Sports, talking some Major League Baseball awards here on the Lombardi Line. Well, Von, the American League Cy Young, you have here on your bets Shohei Ohtani at 12-1. Any concern with you with Ohtani that if the Angels continue to lose, that maybe they save his arm into next season, or maybe he goes to them and says, hey, I don't want to pitch. I want to make sure that I'm healthy and good to go as he enters free agency coming up this winter?
Well, I'll say there's a lot of different factors of this, because, of course, he can get shut down. The injuries, he had the blister. He's expected to pitch tomorrow against Houston that I was reading. And, of course, his innings isn't as high as other pitchers simply because he's a two-sport athlete. You know, he plays both sides of the ball, pitches and hits. And right now, this is a situation where Framber Valdez is the favorite. I don't know many people that are going to say, yeah, I'm taking Framber Valdez at plus 200 to win this. This is wide open, all right? I got a preseason ticket on Gerrit Cole. I wouldn't say no to Shane McClanahan, but the Rays are due for some regression with a 95.5 win total. You'd expect them to win over 100 games with how they've been playing this season. And then you look at Kevin Gausman, too. Another candidate like Blake Snell. The Blue Jays are going to play better baseball in the second half. Those numbers should come up for them. So Kevin Gausman is probably the best lower odds guy to bet here. But Shohei Ohtani, to me, the best pitcher in all of baseball, first time through the order. If you guys didn't know that, I'm here to tell you. A 115 batting average, 15 hits, and 131 at-bats. Ohtani shuts everyone down the first time through the order. And he's been outstanding in every department. So at 12-1, 15-1, I do like some snack money on Ohtani. He could be the first player to win MVP in Cy Young. And there was some voters out there that may be tempted to do that and be a part of that history.
Yeah, how about that? And the fact that you are alert to that too, right? I mean, that is outstanding right there. Okay, NL Rookie of the Year, De La Cruz, I mean – that's a nice number, I think, for a player that has a flash that has bursted onto the scene as well.
Yeah, I mean, your producer told me we're going to have some beef on this one. We might have some disagreements here, but we can all agree that it's going to be a two-player race here. It's De La Cruz and Corbin Carroll. And obviously, Corbin Carroll had 32 games played last year. That definitely helps him out. He's had 86 played so far this year. So his numbers look much better in a larger spectrum than De La Cruz. But if you did take De La Cruz's numbers and put them to that 115-plus game sample size, they would look better right now. But we do know there's more time to be played for De La Cruz, and a lot can happen in the second half of baseball season. The Reds had 62 wins last year. They have 50 right now at the All-Star break. Wow. And with De La Cruz in the lineup, they're 21-6. 21-6 in the 27 games he played, and he scored 28 runs. So this rookie's averaging over run scored per game. I mean, he's stealing bases, RBIs, quickest triple in history, 460-foot home runs, stealing three bases on two pitches, including home. What doesn't this guy do? A part of a team that's making strides. A team like the D-backs, a lot of us experts expected them to be better this year, expected Corbin Carroll to take those big leaps, and that's happened here. But De La Cruz, while we all thought 16-1, 21, he may be a good bet, he's all the way down to a two-man race now, hitting 325. I mean, he's going to close this gap, so that's why I like the odds here. Corbin Carroll should be the favorite. He should win, but De La Cruz is going to make this a two-man race and make it closer than it should be. So give me the money on the most exciting man in baseball.
So, Von, we don't have beef, but there is a little bit of a disagreement here. Just because, and I was telling our producer, Elliot Bowman, before we started the show here, I was like, I have money on both guys, De La Cruz and on Carroll, so I'm like, hey, great. Whichever one of these guys wins it, perfect. I mean, I win a lot more on De La Cruz because there were some big prices before he got called up. But my problem is that I think that he got called up too late, and Carroll's been so damn good to where there's such a gap there between those guys in terms of what they've done up until this point. Now, to your credit, let's say Carroll's shoulder injury ends up being a thing once again. if he doesn't play for an extended period of time, maybe Ellie can kind of sort of shorten that gap. But as of right now, if Carroll continues to play, I think he just wins, man, because he's going to get MVP votes, this guy.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The last 2-3 weeks, his MVP odds have kind of drifted back away from that 12-1, 15-1 range down to like 30-1. And that makes his chances to win Rookie of the Year obviously a little stronger too, because you're not going to probably reward a guy Rookie of the Year and MVP. So it makes it easier for the voters to give him that, I will say. But his shoulder injury is a concern for me. Arizona does have the 9th hardest strength of schedule left remaining, while Cincinnati has one of the easiest ones, including the NL Central, of course, but the 5th easiest in the NL. So, I mean, when you do get to play my Pittsburgh Pirates 6, 7, 8 more times, Taylor Cruz is going to put up some numbers. I will say that. But, you know, you're going to win some money regardless. So I think it's clearly a 2-team race. I wouldn't talk anyone either bets here.
It could be the summer of Ellie. Maybe it's the summer of the Reds, because I know you like them to go ahead and win the Central.
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, the Pirates, finito. Cardinals, finished. You know, the Cubs, maybe the end. You know, they're getting towards that right now. It's definitely seeming like this is a 2-team race as well between the Reds and the Brewers. And the Brewers were the favorites this year, but I came on here and said this to you guys. I had a little bit of issues with the Brewers, their staff, and their franchise, because when you have an ace like Corbin Burns, who was coming off a really good season, and you won't even give this guy $1 million when he goes to arbitration, that speaks a lot to what you're doing as a franchise, in my opinion. And at some point, I did think Milwaukee was going to fall apart or just fall back. You've seen teams start to make runs in this division. The Cardinals did for a minute. Cubs were looking good, and now it's the Reds. I look at the Reds, and with De La Cruz being 21-6 in the lineup, and Joey Votto coming back and them being so exciting, such a great home team, going on a 12-game win streak, first time since 57. I think the Reds can win this division for sure. Getting a plus money price on them still, I think is good. So I'm fading the Brewers. I think they're just overrated in general.
Vaughn, we got about 20 seconds left here. You fading the Texas Rangers in the AL West?
Yeah. Regression is due. There's no way this team can be hitting plus 148 run differential with the Rays and the Braves. Ridiculous. I'm gonna have to fade them and take the Astros here. I'm a big Houston guy. They pay me every year, the Houston Astros. Yeah. I'm gonna keep taking them. All right.
Yeah, only 2 games back right now, and there's still plenty of baseball to go. He is Vaughn Dalzell. Make sure you check out his work over at NBC Sports. He does a terrific job over there. This was fun breaking down some of these MLB awards. Vaughn, be well, man. Good luck with the bets.
Likewise. Have a great weekend, guys.
Awesome stuff from Vaughn. He also likes Josh Young of the Texas Rangers to go ahead and win the AL Rookie of the Year right now. Young, the favorite at plus 125. That does it for MLB awards. On the other side, NFL awards. We discuss it next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard here hanging out at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Thank you to Vaughn Dalzell, who joined us in the last segment over at NBC Sports Edge. He's a betting analyst over there at the Peacock. If you missed the segment, check it out in podcast form, like we always say, and help us those podcast numbers. Lombardi Line, get it wherever you get your podcasts. Also, the GM Shuffle, new episode dropped today. Make sure you get that. Subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast as well. Michael and I began our Blue Chip Red Chip series this summer. So we started off with the safeties. Next week, we go to the cornerbacks, and we'll go on down the line.
That's going to be outstanding. I know Blue Chip. So Red Chip, how close is Red Chip to Blue Chip?
The Red Chip guys, it's like obviously you're really good, but you're not quite in the elite category.
Right.
So we do 5 Blue Chips, 5 Red Chips. And the 5 blue chip guys are, I'll spoil a couple of them here, but check it out in podcast form, okay? All right, just because I'm going to say a couple.
Give us like 2 of them.
I'll give you two. Give you a little appetizer, but the entree is on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, or whoever else is doing podcasts these days. Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
Shouldn't be a shocker.
Yeah.
We have Kevin Byard of the Tennessee Titans as well as a blue chip. And I'll give you one more, and this will be it. Derwin James of the Chargers. So those are three of the blue chip safeties. To find out who the other two are, check it out wherever you get your podcasts.
Derwin James.
Derwin James. He just made the list. But that was one. Michael said that was his last blue chip. Okay. He was like, I was a little shaky on putting Derwin James on the list, but he just made it. So he wasn't like Minka for him was like a no-brainer. Write it down. Boom, forget about it.
Oh, yeah.
But Derwin James is like, But he did make the blue chips list. But all terrific players, 10 of those safeties. Mm. Probably it's not ranked as in like 1 through 10, but it's just like those are kind of like your consensus kind of top 10 guys at the positions. And we'll do corners coming up next week, which I think will be really interesting. We'll get some new names on there like Sauce Gardner and stuff, who was obviously a rookie last year, so he didn't make it. But this year, after one season, probably going to be on the blue chip list.
Yes, he will.
Spoiler alert. All right, let's talk NFL awards here because it's one of probably my favorite thing to bet on in all of betting is NFL awards because I love the sport and I love betting on awards, and you put the two together, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Let's start with the MVP, and these numbers are courtesy BetMGM. We have the highest ticket percentage, highest handle, biggest liability. Right now, the highest ticket percentage is on Jalen Hurts of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow.
Highest handle, Patrick Mahomes, who is the favorite to win MVP. And your biggest liability is Jalen Hurts, who I believe he's around that 10-1 range, 8-1 maybe in some places, maybe 10, 12-1, as kind of like that second tier behind the Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow. But when you see those numbers, ticket percentage, handle percentage, biggest liability, anything that stands out to you with NFL most valuable player?
You know, so I had Patrick Mahomes at 7-1, and I got it in August last year. Mm. So
good bet.
Yeah, good bet. I think what had to happen too, like, okay, Tyreek Hill and all this stuff. Okay, what are the Chiefs doing? You know, is Patrick Mahomes, is he regressing? I mean, all these question marks, but all they did was evolve. All he did was get better, get more efficient. And he settled down as a pocket passer, a pure pocket passer. And, you know, the irony of all that is he had to because of the ankle. And so the ankle situation and being a pocket passer, okay, you win a Super Bowl. I think from an MVP standpoint, you know, Jalen Hurts, we were talking about this off air, about the number of offensive touchdowns for the Eagles last year. And it was skewed towards the rushing. They had 57 total offensive touchdowns, and they only had 25 passing touchdowns. So I think for Jalen to win MVP, obviously he's going to have to throw the ball a little bit more and connect on some passing touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes had, 41? Or the Chiefs did anyway. And I think for that to happen for Jalen, you know, as an MVP, Joe Burrow stands out as an MVP to me because I think they are on the cusp of making that Super Bowl run. If you look at Burrow and you look at that roster, out of all the quarterbacks primed, he seems to be the most primed at that position. And typically MVP is going to go to a quarterback. So for my money, I mean, I'm looking to bet Joe Burrow there.
Yeah, Burrow, it feels like he's kind of next in this MVP hierarchy. But those odds are courtesy of BetMGM. Let me throw this at you. Okay. This is courtesy Caesars here in Nevada. They put together this interesting prop, which I think could garner a fun discussion. Mm-hmm. So they'll give you Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen. So you get all three of those guys at plus 190.
Okay.
Or anyone else minus 240. Once again, this is at Caesars here in Nevada. Would you bet plus 190 getting Mahomes, Burrow, or Allen to win MVP?
I would. I mean, if I like Burrow, I mean, I just would rather just bet Burrow, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Instead of that.
You don't want Mahomes in there?
No. I mean, back-to-back MVP situations with Mahomes, I mean, it's intriguing. It really is. But I think Burrow, I just feel like Burrow is about to separate himself. I said this before on Lombardi Line, that because this core for Cincinnati has done something that's never been done before when they were 25 years, you know, a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And now it feels like, you know, Ja'Marr Chase being healthy, you know, T. Higgins and all these contracts and all this stuff and Boyd and, you know, they got the best offensive line situation Burrow has had as Brown comes back to that division. He's highly familiar with the personnel there. So I would just bet Joe Burrow straight up.
I agree with you. I would probably bet the no on that minus 240 because, well, I like Burrow just like you do.
Okay.
But Mahomes, it's hard to win 2 years in a row. I know Rodgers just did it, 2020, 2021. He went back-to-back.
Right.
I know Peyton Manning has done it. And, like, guys have done it. It's not impossible. Like, you usually don't get voter fatigue like you do in other sports. But I don't think I'd want Josh Allen. And that's why your price is getting down to plus one. Like, if you gave me 3-1 on all three of those guys, 100% I'll take it. Where do I sign? But I don't want Josh Allen in that group, and that's bringing down that number. So I don't think you're getting fair value just because I think Buffalo should be the favorite to win the AFC East, but they're not as big a favorite as they were last year. Like, they're a little vulnerable in my eyes just based on them and the other teams in the division. And we saw that last year when they were losing to the New York Jets when the Jets were starting Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Now the Jets have Aaron Rodgers. Like, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for Buffalo to kind of separate themselves from the pack. And we saw some of those warts start to show at the second half of last season, especially in that playoff game against Cincinnati. So I agree with you. Like, I think I would rather just identify Burrow at 7-1. Is there anybody else when you look at the MVP? Like Lamar Jackson's at 14-1. He's back. Tua, Rodgers, 16-1. Prescott also 16-1, as well as Trevor Lawrence. Any other guys maybe further down the board that interest you?
I mean, Prescott, a little bit of interest right there because of how Dallas, they can score. I mean, we know that, right? I mean, I mentioned earlier on the program, you know, Dak, he's averaged double-digit wins his entire career so far. And he's been through some injuries, man, and some ugly ones. So, I mean, if McCarthy is onto something and if the Cowboys are really loaded like they are, and if they add, I mean, who knows? I mean, they got the cap space. They could add along the way. You know, at 16-1, Dak Prescott, you know, you could take a shot at that from an MVP standpoint because that is a bet that Cowboys are going to get through a wide open or a four-team race in the NFC and then get through the playoffs and get to the Super Bowl as well.
My only apprehension on Dak at 16-1 is that I think Dallas's calling card is going to be defense.
Okay.
So I think when people want to talk about the Cowboys and reward the Cowboys, it's going to be, oh, this defense is fantastic. Mm. Prescott's obviously going to have to play well for them to win games, but I think the defense is going to take most of the headlines to where maybe he doesn't quite get that MVP push, even though, I mean, it's the most high-profile position in all of sports, Cowboys quarterback.
Right.
But I think that when they talk about the Cowboys, it's going to be, oh, my goodness, look how good this defense is. It's not going to be, oh, my gosh, Dak is leading them and they're scoring 35 a game, especially with McCarthy kind of wanting to shorten the game up a little bit, I think, this year, which is why he and Kellen Moore kind of had those differences. And Kellen Moore's in L.A., and now McCarthy's calling the plays.
Yeah, can the defense give him more opportunities, though? Say the defense perhaps, taking away possessions, like you mentioned. And it's fascinating. I mean, you know, there's no other quarterback that captures that. I mean, Lamar Jackson, because what everybody's saying about all the talent. They got 4 first-round wide receivers on that roster right now.
They've been throwing darts, man.
And then Aaron Rodgers, who knows, right? But, no, I mean, for 16-1, I thought there could be some value, perhaps, with Dak there.
Yeah. Lamar, maybe I could talk myself into it, but I like Cincinnati too much. I think the Bengals are going to win that division. And if you don't win your division, guess what? Newsflash, you're not going to win MVP. So it's kind of hard, which is why, like, MVP, I think, of all the awards in the NFL, it's probably the market that is probably the sharpest, even though there's some edges that you can go ahead and beat. But we all know what the formula is. Win your division, be a top one or two seed, and be a quarterback.
Right.
Like, all those quarterbacks who are capable of doing that are properly ordered here, and it's not a whole lot of, oh, Mahomes is like 15-1. No, he's 7-1. Burrow, 7-1. Same with Josh Allen, because we know those three teams are favored to win their divisions, and they could also have the big records to maybe be home field advantage, which in that case, they would likely be the MVP.
Yeah, Mahomes convincingly 98%, 48 votes for MVP last year.
It's pretty good. We'll break down Offensive Rookie of the Year and also Comeback Player of the Year to wrap up the show on the other side.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sports books, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points to MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard. We've been hanging out here for a couple of hours. And before we wrap things up, thank you to our two guests on the program, Will Hill, VSiN contributor, and then also Von Dalzell, betting analyst over at Sports Edge over at NBC. But, Pritch, let's give out our pro tip for the day. And okay. It's courtesy of Von Dalzell at NBC Sports Edge. And one thing I thought he was doing when betting his MLB awards for the second half of the season is, if you're kind of looking to bet on some of these awards, maybe identify first which teams you think could have strong second halves, because we know voters tend to have recency bias, and if you have a strong second half, maybe it leaves a really good impression before the ballots are due.
Yeah, recency bias or an agenda. I mean, all those kinds of things come into play, right, with voters. But I always want to find a strong narrative, too, and you know, players that can get into a situation in which they can distinguish themselves and have a narrative. Like we were talking about Strider. I mean, the Braves are so great right now that, I mean,
are they peaking too early?
Yeah. Can he distinguish himself, or is it just a collection of just great players on that roster? Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, it's fascinating, but it's a great pro tip, because if you can find that, like for instance, De La Cruz, I mean, we were talking about this too, when from a rookie of the year standpoint, you were tracking him in the minors, right?
Yeah, minor league. I mean, I bet him before he got called up.
He got called up because of the hype. Yeah. Because of the hype. And so that's kind of carrying over. But then, you know, you got a great situation with what obviously could probably be the rookie of the year anyway. But So, I think narrative is so important. I got beat out by Vrabel, coach of the year, because I had Zach Taylor with Cincinnati. And I thought he had a really good narrative going. But then Vrabel off the top rope, like Macho Man, did more with less. Like who votes for that? He did more with less.
Writers.
Yeah, exactly.
That's who votes on
Yeah,
that.
And so he wins coach of the year. And I'm like, wait a minute, you see the roster, you see Zach Taylor and Cincinnati. But no, that one hurt my pocketbook a little bit.
You know, the cool thing about awards is that I always look for, can you give the case for somebody in a tweet, because it has to be easily explainable, and you have to be able to explain it over and over and over for it to resonate with a voting block. And with Vrabel, because I actually bet on Vrabel, I think it was the 2 weeks before the season ended. It might have been the week, the last week of the season. I bet him 4-1 to be coach of the year, because at the time, I believe Zach Taylor was a favorite. Matt LaFleur was up there as well. This was 2 years ago. And the Vrabel case was no Derrick Henry, no stars, one seed in the AFC. And like, it was just like that. You just kept seeing that case over and over again. And then the writers were like, you know what? That's right. They had so many guys hurt and all of a sudden it wasn't the Bills. It wasn't the Chiefs. It was the Titans who were the one seed. Let's give it to Vrabel.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
That's just that simple sometimes.
We're not smart as humans. You just gotta, if you can tell it to us in a compact sentence or two, we'll run with it. Yeah. And that's what happened.
Yep.
Just a pro tip right there. That's an extra pro tip, by the way. Check out all the tips over at VSiN.com/tips. Before we get into more awards breakdown in the NFL, we do have some breaking news out of the NFL. This from Tom Pelissero at NFL Network, and it goes along with what we were talking about earlier in the first hour. The New York Jets and all-pro defensive tackle Quinnen Williams have agreed to terms on a 4-year, $96 million mega deal, the largest second contract ever. For a defensive tackle, Williams gets $66 million in guarantees in the deal negotiated by his agent, Nicole Lynn. Your reaction to Quinnen Williams cashing out as more money, more problems? Well, we know the money part is coming towards Quinnen Williams.
Right. Well, we knew that was going to get done. I mean, it had to get done. 4 years, though, that's outstanding for Quinnen. Yeah. And that's outstanding for Nicole Lynn, too.
Yep. Negotiated Hurts' deal earlier this offseason, too.
She's about to get a few more clients.
And another home, maybe.
Exactly. Yeah, but no, that had to happen. I mean, there's so many things. I mean, and I'm not going to throw in Hard Knocks and, you know, the Jets, and do they want this
done
story
before Hard Knocks?
Right, right. It was Darrell Revis, all right. Remember that? And the Hard Knocks. But anyway, so many parallels with the National Football League. Right. Sometimes you find it out, too, right? But No, it was going to get done. They had a sense of urgency to it. They're approaching camp. They got everything they need to have a Super Bowl run, including the quarterback. So you had to have your best player defensively signed, sealed, and delivered.
And I'm glad you pointed that out because he is their best defensive player. He's the straw that stirs the drink is what we've been saying on the GM Shuffle podcast and here on the Lombardi Line as well. He is one of the best interior defensive linemen, and kudos to him. 4 years, $96 million, 66 of it guaranteed at signing. And we kind of made the joke about it with the Hard Knocks, but do you think that played a little bit of a factor into it of, hey, like, we don't want this to become like a thing while we have all these cameras at our training camp that everyone's being asked about it. It now becomes a storyline and an HBO show and all that. Like, do you think, like, I don't think it, like, the Jets were like, hey, we got to get this done now.
No.
We've got Hard Knocks. But maybe if it's not 10% of why it got done, maybe it's like 4%, 3% of why it got done this soon.
I'm sure somebody brought it up. Yeah, how about that, right?
Yeah.
They were probably closer than what everybody could think of how if they were far apart in the first place. But everybody I talked to, they felt like that was going to get done. I mean, it had to get done too. But I don't think Hard Knocks influenced the final number at all. But it maybe helped a little bit to mention it. Yeah. You know, who knows? But
like, hey, let's get this done before the cameras.
Yeah, you don't want that distraction, right? I mean, it's a bunkered mentality anyway in training camp. And the last thing you want are storylines to deal with and go to the podium and ask, okay, when is Quinnen coming? When is Quinnen? So, no, you got a great culture. Salah has created that. And now, you know, this is a team that needs to hit the ground running, especially with the quarterback that they have right now.
Yeah, well, the Jets no longer have any distractions. Quinnen Williams is all buttoned up and signed, 4 years, 96. Mm-hmm. And now we'll just sit back and watch with our popcorn as Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets and Robert Saleh will be the stars of Hard Knocks starting in, like, what, 3 weeks or so? Yeah,
Five episodes. Can you get that interested in five episodes, though? I mean,
Rodgers just seeing it. He's never been on Hard Knocks because the Packers are always too good to be on Hard Knocks. Like, they would always make the playoffs. So I think it'll be interesting to get some behind the scenes. Okay. I mean, that guy's always up to something funny.
Right. Yeah. They got some characters on that team.
They do have characters. Yeah. We'll get to see Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson. Star-studded team out there in the Meadowlands, high expectations, and now they have a highly paid defensive tackle.
It's like if The Sopranos was five episodes.
doesn't
do it justice, right? I heard about you and The Sopranos, by the way.
Yeah, we're still working to finish it. Now this damn NFL Netflix thing, the quarterback series drops. Now I'm trying to watch both simultaneously. Mm. It's a whole ordeal. Hopefully they're both done by the end of the week. That's what I've set out for myself here. 2 minutes left in the show. Want to get your thoughts here on Offensive Rookie of the Year. We'll continue our Rookie of the Year and awards discussion coming up tomorrow. But over at BetMGM, highest ticket percentage, highest handle, biggest liability, just happens to be the favorite, and that is Bijan Robinson for the Atlanta Falcons. Is Bijan an unbeatable favorite at Rookie of the Year, or are there some other guys you're kind of eyeing to take a shot at the running back out of Texas?
No, Bijan is attractive, too, as a Rookie of the Year. I mean, certainly running back position, you think about that. I mean, we just talked about Saquon Barkley and his start to his career too, and now he's trying to continue that with the Giants. But you know, Anthony Richardson is a player because he's a perfect fit. Out of all the players that got drafted, you know, if you're Anthony Richardson, say you were getting recruited by the NFL, he would probably pick the Colts because one, they need a starting quarterback. Two, that offense is tailor made for what he does and what he does very well. So it's a perfect fit. Like, think about. Like, if you're Bijan Robinson, would you have selected the Falcons if you were being recruited?
Probably not.
No. So you got to make it work, right? And, you know, and I think, you know, Bryce Young up there with Carolina, their offense, you know, they were a run-heavy team last year, physical bunch. I don't know what they're going to do this year with Bryce Young. Probably more of the same. But all the choices on this board, I mean, Anthony Richardson is a perfect fit. I think, to me, That's where the value is from Rookie of the Year standpoint.
Yeah, to me, I think what sums up this market, in my opinion, is that tie goes to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
If both guys are terrific, the quarterback's going to win the award.
Yeah.
And I know there are people out there saying, well, Ja'Marr Chase beat out Mac Jones. That wasn't no damn tie. Mac Jones was nowhere near a top quarterback, and Ja'Marr Chase played like a top five receiver in his first year.
Yeah.
So that's why he beat out Mac Jones. Tie goes to the QB. And based on the odds, I think those guys are going to be pretty closely aligned. I'll take one of the quarterbacks. Give me Bryce Young, first overall pick for the Carolina Panthers. That does it for us today. For Mike Pritchard, I'm Femi Abebefe. For our producer, Elliot Bowman, and the entire crew behind the glass, we wish you all the best of luck. VSiN Best Bets coming up next.